7 o'clock. Good morning, Pyle. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. Hope you had a very, very happy 4th of July. I ate a big old steak. That's what I did. Ate a lot of ice cream, too.
Yeah, I had a root beer float.
I just said, you know, it's 4th of July. What the heck? I'm just going to let it all hang out. Big old steak.
Yeah, why not?
A whole bunch of ice cream. Why not? All right. So we have a lot to get to on the program this morning. We talked about it quite a bit on Friday. We had Mark Johnson on. We'll bring back
what
happened? You, of all people, Mr. Big Ten.
Did something happen?
Should know.
You're talking about him emceeing the Avs rally, right?
Now, okay, I asked Mark about this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you heard the voice. You didn't see.
I heard the voice.
Okay, that was Alan Roach.
Was it?
Because I asked Mark. Mark goes, no, that was Alan Roach.
Because
he goes, it
sounded exactly like
it. He goes, we get confused quite often. And I go, well, that's... Both of you, good
that's
company.
That's an E-me, then.
Good company for both of you guys, okay, to get mixed up with the other guy. I said that I sometimes get confused with Steve Urkel. Did I do that? No, I just...
There's a decided difference there. He's got considerably more money than you do.
He does. Jaleel White has way more money than this dad has.
Same guy.
Same guy. Did I do that? Laura.
And you don't wear glasses really anymore. You wear readers, but not like glasses.
Yeah, I wear glasses to do games. I wear progressive lenses to do games. So I don't have to wear the readers and have them down at the edge of my nose. And so, but no, that was not Mark. Mark goes, oh, no. He goes, there's no way. No way I'm going to be downtown. No way. With all those people, no way.
Hey, that's a guy after my own heart right
Mark's
there.
Like,
I don't want to be around anybody.
It's like, go to a football stadium, basketball arena. Yes, I'm fine with that. Going just to do something. No. He's like, no. I was home. I did not attend.
So, and apparently, we'll get back to the big topic, but the Avs ran out of booze right after coming back from Tampa. That's what Eric Johnson said. They ran out of alcohol. And Gabriel Landeskog, Nathan MacKinnon, and Cale Makar had a lot of it. Jared
Bednar definitely
was toasted a little.
Definitely, yeah. Imbibed.
Joe Sakic looked fairly sober.
Joe was okay.
Cale Makar did not.
Here's Bednar, by the way.
Yeah.
Us as coaches, that we can get the job done. It's amazing. And I appreciate that. Level of commitment and trust and patience and all that. I mean, amazing.
I love it because it tells you just the control that these guys have during the year, right? But I love it. I thought it was great.
You know, on that front, because the Avs have a lot of guys to try to resign.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Josh Manson's probably going back to Anaheim.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to be traded. And
I mean, have to put his name on the cup.
I'm sure now he's quite thrilled how it worked out. He comes to Denver for part of a season and walks away with the Stanley Cup. But he wants to go back to Anaheim. And so it looks like that if you're kind of hoping, yeah, Josh Manson was a nice piece. And he's gone. He's gone, so you can already scratch him off the to-do list for one Joe Sakic moving forward.
You know what I saw a lot of on Twitter last week and into the weekend? His name's not going to go on the cup because I've seen the list and it's not on there, but he also wasn't on the team when they won it. But like they're like, Tyson Jost should get a ring.
No, he shouldn't. Absolutely not. Sorry. No.
But if you're a guy that is traded mid-season and you're eligible, then, you know, it's up to him to decline it or not, but I can offer it to him.
I would decline it. Say no. I wasn't there when the heavy lifting was done. I wasn't there for the postseason. I was no longer part of the team. No. I understand he played you know, chunk of the regular season there. I get that. But to me, if you weren't there part of it when they, you know, had to go to, you know, they beat Nashville,
yeah,
beat St. Louis and beat Edmonton and then ultimately beat Tampa Bay, you, if they want to do something nice for him, okay, I don't care, whatever. I don't know what that would be. But to me, if you're not part of the postseason roster,
yeah,
then you don't get your name on the cup. I'm sorry.
I mean, Sammy think Girard he's going to go on.
Sammy Girard got hurt in the postseason. Okay, Sammy Girard should be on the cup.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's fine. That's not his fault.
And I saw a post, and I'm trying to see it, if they have him on there. But, okay, they don't. But the manga kid, or whoever, whatever his name is, who was out there running around like he scored a goal.
Yeah.
He has less standing to be on the cup than Tyson Jones. But he's out there, part of a parade.
Yeah,
Jason Megna.
But if you're there on the postseason roster, and you, to me, that's, you know, it's tough. It's a tough decision to make. I just think if you're not there, does Tyson Jones have a better case? Yeah, I probably agree with you on that. I still think, though, there has to be some line where you go, okay,
yeah,
what constitutes you being part of a cup-winning team?
They need to put Nicholas Abe Kubel's name down by the dent.
It should be by the dent.
Yeah.
I just don't think, and it's not like Tyson Jones' fault that he got traded. It's just how things worked out, but I just don't.
I'm with you that he should not be on the cup.
Yeah, I just don't. You weren't there,
right?
Like I said, when the postseason rolled around, the Stanley Cup playoffs started. So there you go. All right, anyway. So let's get back. We'll get to what's happening in a moment. What should the Colorado Buffaloes do? Because thanks to Larry Scott, boy, Mark ripped Larry Scott. Oh boy, did Mark Johnson rip Larry Scott on Friday. And rightfully so, because he's the idiot that put them in this spot. So, story out today from KSLSports.com over in Salt Lake City that there are rumors, and I also saw this over the weekend, that they're supposedly that Colorado, Utah, Arizona State, that they are going to talk today with the Big 12.
And that I've seen over, no matter where it's from, that four pack seems to be very solid, right? Like that's a group of four that's going together, it feels like.
Right. Right now, if I'm George Klyavkov, though, embattled commissioner of the Pac-12, I'm making a call to my counterpart in the Big 12, making a call saying, please consider some kind of merger. Well, you know, whether Klyavkov becomes deputy commissioner to Brett Yormark, who's just on the job, by the way. I mean, Yormark has barely got his office set up as the Big 12 commissioner. And I would just say, look, we've...
Didn't he come across from Jay-Z's company, Roc Nation, I think?
I believe he did, yes.
Welcome. Welcome to college football.
Because Bob Bowlesby stepped down in April.
Mm-hmm. It's a little East Coast-West Coast rap rivalry without the guns.
Not the guns. It's just who can take away the biggest pieces from each other's football conferences. Right. And I mean, because that's then all of a sudden now you can say, all right, we can somewhat stand toe to toe with the SEC and now the Big Ten. The next big piece that could fall on this is what happens with Notre Dame. Because Notre Dame is now put in a spot of they either join the ACC full time, which right now the ACC in better shape than the Pac-12, but not a whole lot better. Though they have commitments to each other through like 2036, though.
Yeah, their grant of rights is, I think when they signed their deal, it was like 25 years. It was crazy, but because, you know, their television rights go through the conference, through the ACC.
Right.
Till 2036. That's, I had to read up on what grant of rights meant. So it was a working weekend, really.
I did some of that as well.
So they're out of the three that have been left behind. They're in the best spot
to keep everybody
to keep pace, really.
And to keep everybody together. They could add. Now the question is, though, who do they add? That becomes the question. If you're the ACC, who do you add?
Because really the four biggest names that are affiliated to conferences that aren't the Big 12 and the SEC are now in those two conferences, right? Texas, Oklahoma, USC, UCLA. Is there anybody else approaching that level that they can add from the Big 12, the Pac-12?
Yeah, I don't know.
Outside of Notre Dame, that's a no, I don't think.
Washington, Oregon. I mean, in terms of TV, you get the Seattle TV market.
Right. Oregon,
because of its prestige, it's a brand name.
That brand can maybe reach the lower end of that level. But other than that, you know, looking at the Big 12 as it's currently constructed, sans Oklahoma and Texas. Baylor, Iowa State, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, TCU, Tech, West Virginia. No thanks.
Yeah, maybe TCU.
Yeah.
Maybe Tech.
If any of those teams come calling, does the ACC be like,
no thanks.
To me, Washington, Oregon, but then there are commitments within the university system with Oregon State, with Washington State, where there's the feeling of, hey, if Washington goes, if Oregon goes, then it has to be probably all four.
Yeah, those four are probably as tied together even more securely than the ramshackle alliance of Utah, CU, and the Arizona schools.
Right. Grant of rights, by the way, because I don't think we really explained it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an agreement which schools transfer their media rights to the conference for a set period of time. So that's what a grant of rights is. Maybe you said that. I didn't remember.
I didn't.
So that's, if you're going, well, what the hell's a grant? Is it something to do with the universities? Not particularly. No, it's about them basically giving their media rights to the conference and saying, here you go.
Sell us, baby.
Yeah. Seattle TV market, Seattle-Tacoma, number 14 in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's value there.
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of bringing in Washington to whatever.
And you look at, you know, and it's kind of all focused on the Big 12. I gave you the list of eight schools that are still in it. Starting 23, so next football season, BYU, Central Florida, Cincinnati, and Houston.
Yeah.
That's okay. But if you can add those four and then follow that up with the quad of the Arizona school, CU, and Utah, now you're at 16, and that's not bad. That's not a bad 16, at least name recognition-wise. You're going to be better in some of the other sports that, as opposed to like the ACC football. I mean, you're not going to match ACC in basketball, but you'll be pretty decent in basketball.
Now, getting to a moment to Oregon State, Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
They're not exactly connected together through any kind of collaboration through the educational system there, anything like that. It's more of a, like losing the Apple Cup.
Yeah.
And those kind of things. And lawmakers in both Washington State and Oregon, they've started, you know, the discussions about what can we do to keep everybody together, because there is the sense that all four would like to stay together, mm-hmm. even though there's Oregon and Washington can do whatever they want to do,
right,
and leave the other two behind. But the feeling is, to get back to kind of what I was talking about, that they prefer, the lawmakers in those states would prefer that not be the case. Mm-hmm. That if Washington and Oregon go, then the other two go with them, or whatever they, or they all stay in the Pac-12,
right?
Whatever that looks like.
But they're all kind of tied together,
right? There are some. There's emotional commitment there. Mm-hmm. I guess an emotional connection,
right,
with those institutions more than there's actually a legally binding connection, mm-hmm, between all of them to stay in the Pac-12. So for Colorado, to me, going back to the Big 12 makes a lot of sense, because all of a sudden now you have a third superpower conference.
Yeah.
If you add Colorado and Utah, Arizona, Arizona State makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens to the rest of the Pac-12? Or do you just, or does it make more sense if you're Brett Yormark, a guy who, like I said, comes from the world of entertainment, thinking outside the box, and maybe you look at this as an opportunity to go, you know what, SEC, you came in and raided us, mm-hmm, OU, Texas, and now the Big Ten's done this to the Pac-12. Let's create our own conference. Let's create our own super conference, which they could very well do by merging these two conferences. I mean, you're going to 16. We can go higher than that.
It'd just be 18 until the four new ones come in.
Yeah.
And 22, and it's still not as good as the 16-team conferences in the SEC and the Big Ten.
You know,
they're going to have to change that name.
But you know what? You're getting closer, though.
Yeah.
You're within spitting distance of, because for the SEC, you still got the Vanderbilts of the world. You've got some of those that are great educational institutions, mm-hmm, not great members of, but then you got Kansas, which is a national champion in basketball, which you were, right, starting to talk about a little bit. Basketball plays zero role in this, though. That's the thing. It's funny, but it should.
It plays a very minor role, if any, yeah.
But at some point it will.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's already talk, what do they do about the NCAA basketball tournament down the road? Do we see these super conferences say, NCAA tournament, screw you, we're doing our own thing? Which, do they want to take that on at some point in time? I don't know what the answer is to that.
Because
this is football driven right, yeah, now.
68 teams, I don't know if they're really going to bail out of the NCAA basketball tournament, because there's so much money involved, right?
The
and
branding
that's what
this
of is it. All about.
Yeah.
And if the Big 12 and the Pac-12 merge and become the Big Pac-22, I don't. Unless the playoffs expand, which they haven't, unless they get significantly larger, I don't really see their path to a national championship and their path into the playoffs and to the championship game, which is where all the money's at. Right. And it's all about the money. And you make more of it the more playoff games you get into and you play in. I don't see their path getting that much clearer, merging or otherwise. If they don't do anything respectively, they're done. They're toast.
Remember, the Pac-12 was one of the conferences that held up the expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they regretting that now?
Good call.
Good job, Larry Scott.
That's a good vote. Yep.
Good job. Oh, and then Clay of a Cup. Now we don't need to expand. When the opportunity was there,
mm-hmm,
to bring in some of the schools, ended up going to the Big 12.
Yeah.
You could have been in the much, much better position if you would have handled things differently. Approve the 12-team playoff, mm-hmm, which guaranteed conferences would have a representative in the college football playoffs.
Yeah.
Everybody was going to have, you know, all the big boys, all the Power Five were going to have a seat at the table in the playoffs. And they said, no, we don't want to do that. Was what, them and the ACC said that? I don't remember who, or was it the Big 12 that, I know the Pac-12 voted against it.
I know the Pac-12
it,
voted against it.
And there's
it.
Somebody else that voted against it as well.
Because if I'm if I'm remembering the weekend correctly, I believe the ACC president, when they were on the president's and AD's call or whatever, kept reiterating that I didn't vote against it.
Yeah.
It was either him or the Big 12 commissioner. Or the old Big 12 commissioner. Or maybe Greg Sankey. I don't know. It was one of the commissioners. I can't keep them straight anymore.
According to report, ACC and Pac-12 voted against it.
Oh, well. The ACC, I can understand them voting against it because they don't have a problem getting a team in. You know, if Notre Dame gets in, that helps them in all the other sports.
But here's the thing. It's funny about it. The Pac-12, they supported the idea of expansion but voted against it.
That's peak Larry Scott.
That is classic Larry Scott. Why would you say, yeah, we like the idea a lot. Yeah, but we're not going to vote for it, though.
You guys should dip your toes into this own TV network for your conference thing. Yeah, let's do that. Let's make 7 of them. No, we want 7. Well, can't you do like the ACC or the Big Ten, have a channel and an alternate? No. We want 7, and you have to take them all if you want the Pac-12.
No, we can't blame Larry Scott. Klavikoff was on the job when they voted against this. So this is George Klavikoff who said, we like the idea, but... And I love his, I'm disheartened that the trust built in the CFP room is being injured by the disclosure of incomplete and therefore inaccurate information about the voting and issues that kept the CFP group from agreeing on expansion.
They can't even trust you to hold a single line for it. Vote. Nay. What? Pick one. Hey, we're for expansion. Okay, let's put it to a vote. What do you say? Nay.
Because really? That'd be all 11 that agreed on it. But if you're Klavikoff, how do you feel about Kevin Warren and the Alliance? We made a lot of fun of the Alliance. Well, that really,
yeah, that turned out well.
But that was great. That was. Is Kevin Warren shaking Klavikoff's hand? Got his fingers behind his back. Yeah. I would never do you wrong, buddy. I'd never do you wrong. All right, so
you can't trust these people.
Jim the Buckeye Boy, what should CU do? Also, since yesterday was the Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest, Joey Chestnut wins again. Went there like a torn tendon. His mom had passed away. Mm-hmm. Lots of things going up against the champion. Lots of things working against him. Is competitive eating a sport? We're going to dive into that. Hold your take on that. We're going to dive into it late back half of this hour. Is it a sport? So if you got some thoughts on that today as well, text or call us. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line 970-242-1340. Let's get to
what's happening.
All right, we will start things out with Kyle Freeland's 4th of July evening. Started out as hot as a firecracker, but imploded in the 5th in a 5-3 loss to the Dodgers in L.A. last night. Freeland was dominant early on with 4 1/3 perfect innings, only to get lit up for 4 runs in the 5th. Colorado manager Bud Black on Freeland's night.
You know, he threw the ball great. I thought the mix of pitches was outstanding. All 4 pitches working. Good change at the bottom of the zone. Good fastballs in, fastballs down, good sliders, couple curveballs. I mean, just the mix I thought was terrific.
Until, fifth inning rolled around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That clip courtesy of AT&T Sportsnet. Freeland went 5 2/3, gave up the 4 runs and 6 hits with 4 strikeouts and a walk. The Rockies' Jose Iglesias and CJ Krohn both hit home runs, with Iglesias getting his 2nd of the season and Krohn his 20th. Game 2 of the series is tonight in L.A. with pregame at 7:30 on the Team Sports Network. Grand Junction Rockies fell to the Northern Colorado Owls 8-7 on the 4th at Saplesio Field. The Rockies' Sean Ross drove in 2 runs, with former CMU Mav Caleb Farmer and Nico Pulpa having 2 hit nights. Grand Junction took 4 out of 6 in the series and set a game back of Ogden in the Pioneer League South Division standings. The 19-17 Rockies are off today before starting a series tomorrow in Colorado Springs against the Rocky Mountain Vibes. USC and UCLA are moving out of the Pac-12 and into the Big Ten starting in 2024, and this raises the question, what's the University of Colorado Buffaloes going to do? Voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson, joined us Friday. He said anything could happen, but the Pac-12 needs to find a way to merge with the Big 12.
So I start to look at that and say, okay, what kind of combination can the Pac-12 and the Big 12 create here moving forward that becomes a very attractive television property? And so that's kind of where I'm looking, and I may be totally wrong, but that just seems logical to me.
All right, you'll hear more from Mark Johnson, his thoughts coming up later on in the 8 o'clock hour. Also, the Rapids hosted their 4th of July game yesterday. They blew a two-goal lead, losing to Austin FC 3-2 at Commerce City. They have not won a fireworks game, the Rapids have, since 1996. No, since 2015, excuse me. It dates back to 96. They beat Vancouver 2-1. They're now 0-4-2. And they're currently 12th in the West right now. And also yesterday at Coney Island, the Nathan's Famous 4th of July hot dog eating contest, Joey Chestnut picks up his 15th win. He ate 63 hot dogs, well off his record 74-plus dog pace previously.
That's the ankle, though. That's what it was.
Yeah,
he was limited.
And his mom had passed away, so there was the physical and the emotional that he had to deal with. But yesterday, you also had on the women's Mika Sudo, who sat it out last year because she was pregnant. She ate 40 hot dogs and buns to win the women's title. So there you go. That's
and bigger stomach this year after than the pregnancy belly last year.
I would think so. That much more room to work with. And that's
what's happening.
All right, 7:26. We'll talk about the Rockies and the loss to the Dodgers last night in L.A. Kyle Freeland was brilliant for about 4 1/3.
Until he wasn't.
Until he was brilliant until he wasn't. Yeah. So we'll talk more about that coming up. You can text or call the show today. Is competitive eating a sport? Also, what should Colorado do? What's the best path, in your opinion, for the Buffs moving forward? You can text us or call us. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340.
Stay by the radio. You're listening to The Jim Davis Show on The Team. 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction.
Welcome back, 7:30. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. What do you think the University of Colorado should do now that USC, UCLA are moving on to the Big Ten? Okay, I'm going to ask you. I'm a Big Ten fan because of following Iowa, though I'm still obviously a Buffs fan. For you, I mean, you've been an Ohio State fan since you practically came out of the womb.
Mm-hmm.
Does it, because I just accept it as it's what the reality is now of college athletics.
Yeah.
But is there a part of you that goes, just going to be weird with USC playing Ohio State and it's not in the Rose Bowl? It's a
conference game.
It's a conference game at the Coliseum or in Columbus. Does it bother you that now tradition doesn't mean anything anymore?
That part, yeah. Yeah, that bothers me that tradition seems less important because I do like the tradition of college football. I'm buffeted, I guess is a good word, by the fact that USC's traditional opponents are still intact, right? They're going to be playing UCLA. It's still going to be a league game for them. They're going to be playing, you know, one of their other rivals, Notre Dame. That game's still going to be intact. It's going to be the same. It's going to be a non-league game, but it's going to be probably earlier in the year, maybe.
Yeah.
And then if Notre Dame joins the conference, then they're not going to be able to duck Ohio State anymore. They're going to have to play them every year. But as far as the history and the traditions and the rivalries, that's kind of a bummer that they're all being broken up now. But on the other side of it, you know, USC Ohio State, which was they both got to get to the Rose Bowl, is now going to be every year you're going to get to see that matchup. You know, Ohio State UCLA, Michigan UCLA, you know, some of the titans of college football lore are not going to be playing each other every year. You're not going to have to do the home and home, you know,
right.
This is a money game type thing.
This is a conference game.
This is a conference game. The prospects are kind of exciting, while at the same time it's cool, but it sucks, right? That's my favorite phrase because I coined it. And there's a lot of it that's cool, but there's some of it that's like, man, the Big Ten, like most of my life, the Big Ten was 11 anyway, but they're well past that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not necessarily looking forward to Rutgers UCLA on a November afternoon because no. That's a conference game. But, you know, it is.
Nor if it's Vanderbilt, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
You know, but I'm looking forward to, like, UCLA, Ohio State, basketball. That's going to be fun. The Buckeyes at Pauley Pavilion, right? That's going to be kind of neat, at least for me.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn because there's the part of me that's the realist. That we saw this coming well over a decade ago, that this was what was mm-hmm. going to happen. And there's the part of me that, you know, I think USC, UCL, I think Pac-12, I think West Coast.
Yeah.
I think playing Washington, playing Oregon, playing Cal. But it also does create an incredible slate of games if you're a Big Ten football fan.
And now I can't say Ohio State's going to play those teams every year because they're probably not based on how the divisions are going to shake out. But you could see them play in the Big Ten championship game centrally located in Denver.
Yeah.
If you want to do that. But, you know, there are a lot of prospects that make it intriguing. And I've kind of got some reaction from around the Big Ten. There's a little bit of lament, right? Like, oh man, why these two teams? But like, as an Ohio State fan, it doesn't really bother me because at this point, as currently constructed, neither of those teams are really a threat in the conference. They went from being upper half of their own conference
right.
to middle of the pack in the Big Ten.
Now,
at least when it comes to talent right now.
Yeah, USC has the ability, though, with the recruiting base, to quickly...
Mm-hmm. UCLA does as well. They just need the right leadership there.
Exactly. And so, but USC certainly is in a far better position. The money mm-hmm. that Mike Bones invested in Lincoln Riley, his ability to recruit.
Yep.
They're going to be a factor in the Big Ten.
Yeah, they're going to get better immediately.
And I would think UCLA, it will be a similar situation with UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, there's the part of me that loves tradition. Tradition is now meaningless. Regionality is meaningless. But there's also the part of me, it's like, in Herb Street, I thought Herbie did a good job of really kind of describing what the future is going to look like. Mm-hmm. It's going to look like the NFL. You're going to have Western divisions, Southern divisions,
mm-hmm.
and that's ultimately how college football will look.
Yeah.
And you will at some point see regionality somewhat come back into it when maybe the SEC, Big Ten, maybe it's the Big 12 / Pac-12, whatever,
mm-hmm.
ACC, whatever that. When the shaking out of this all finally, when the dust settles,
yeah,
you could very well see them agree to some kind of divisions that will be created amongst themselves
mm-hmm.
to that it looks more like the National Football League. And maybe we do accomplish the thing. We do see something that returns to regionality.
Right.
In college football.
And they've slowly
a long way down the road, though.
They've slowly been chipping away at college football traditions, right? You know, Michigan, Ohio State at night instead of a noon Eastern kickoff the Saturday after Thanksgiving. You know, they've moved that game around a little bit. Now you're going to have Big Ten after dark when they play out at UCLA
yeah.
or USC. That's going to be a little, you know, that's going to be fun, but... You know, this started years ago. You know, the Big East looked at bringing in San Diego State
And Boise State,
which is neither big nor east. And, you know, so it's kind of all been from there. You know, the Big Ten really kind of got it started, I guess, when they expanded. The SEC as well. I don't remember right off the top of my head which came first, the Missouri A&M to the SEC or Rutgers and Maryland to the Big Ten.
I think Rutgers Maryland was first, I believe.
And, you know, when Nebraska went to the Big Ten, that was when it was, okay, this is going to get nuts, and it's going to last for a long time. And anybody that's come out is like, all right, well, this is it. It's done. You're naive, because it's only going to get worse until they finally, like Herbie was saying, until they finally decide, all right.
How are we going to split up the pie here? Yeah. What's this going to look like? Because at some point, travel costs will become a factor in this whole thing.
Right.
Even though they're getting millions and millions of dollars from Fox, or ESPN, yeah, depending on which conference we're talking about
the
here.
The Big Ten, I read, could get $100 million per school for the new TV deal. I think that's maybe per year. I'm not sure. But that's a lot of money to fund an athletic program. But still, you know, you're not, when you're doing this, you're not thinking of field hockey, right? UCLA has got to send their field hockey team to East Lansing to play a league game now. Right. You're not thinking about that, and nor are they caring.
Or USC or UCLA worried about their beach volleyball teams. No offense to beach volleyball, right, or anything. They're not worried about that.
No.
Even though Big Ten, they don't offer that. They'll find another place to go play.
They're not worried about women's basketball, softball, swim and dive, track and field, soccer.
The Olympic sports. They don't.
Which
the Conference of Champions has always prided itself on is that aspect of what they offer in terms of Olympic sports.
And we're all in agreement. Not everybody, apparently. Because Mike Bone is sitting there in that boardroom looking out the window at the Big Ten in the parking lot throwing around a football like, they look like they're having more fun than me sitting here talking about javelin.
USC and UCLA, Mike Bone looked at what happened with Texas and Oklahoma and said, we have to get out of this conference.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen what happened. We have a brand name that rivals those two. UCLA still has a lot of clout, even though their glory football days have been behind them for a while. It's the LA TV market. It's the second biggest TV market in the country. We're getting screwed over by this media deal because us and UCLA, Oregon to a degree, Washington to a lesser degree, have been carrying the weight of this conference.
Yeah.
We're gonna leverage where we are, you know, bringing in Lincoln Riley, young hot gun coach.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna call the Big Ten and say what about us? How would you like to expand your footprint to the West Coast? How would you like to do something that rivals what the SEC just did not that long ago? And that's what they did.
And if you want to go on TV markets, the Big Ten is kicking everybody's butt right now. They have the top four, technically, because of school location. New York, L.A., Chicago, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And this is on a Bleacher Report.
Not the Rutgers really moves the needle there a lot, but it's still, you can say, we are coast to coast now. We have the number one and number two TV markets in the country, which is true. They
essentially do. Essentially alone.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 9, 14, 15, and 19. All to themselves, essentially, when it comes to big-time power football.
So we'll talk more about what this means for Colorado and what the next step is. Mm-hmm. I mean, the reports are from a couple of different outlets, one of them KSL Sports in Salt Lake City, that there will be conversations today between Colorado, Rick George, and athletic director at Utah, Arizona State, with the Big 12 today about possibly joining that conference. If you're the Big 12, how do you say no? How do you say no to those institutions? All right. So we'll talk more about that. 7:43. So the Rockies last night, after a pretty good weekend at home, of course, they had the series win against the Dodgers, played well against Arizona times in that series. Rockies now 35-45. The Rockies started a series in L.A. last night against the Dodgers. And Kyle Freeland was great. He was dealing last night through 4 1/3. Four and a third, you know, perfect innings of baseball. And then things went askew in the fifth last night when he gave up 4 runs. So Freeland's final line last night, he takes the loss, 4 2/3, 6 hits, 4 runs, all earned, 5 strikeouts and a walk last night. Elias Chacin came in, gave up a run and a hit. And then Justin Lawrence came on and ended up giving up just 1 hit last night. So Jose Urias, 6 innings, 5 hits last night, gave up just 1 run. He was really, really good last night for the Dodgers. So the Dodgers get the 5-3 win last night over the Rockies. And so tonight, game two of that series at Chavez Ravine, Herman Marquez against Mitch White. By the way, that'll be your pitching matchup. Pre-game at 7:30 with Jack Corgan and Jerry Schimmel. Enjoyed having Jerry on Friday. Mm-hmm. Talk some Rockies baseball. First pitch at 8:10 tonight. Rockies at the Dodgers on the Team Sports Network. All right, it's time for soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Buckeye?
Well, we're going back to Thursday. I know it's been 5 days, but okay. It still applies okay. Because Gabriel Landeskog in his cups was having a lot of fun. Nathan MacKinnon with the "I guess I finally won something," which is a great callback. But you also had the young pup who was drunk, Mr. Cale Makar. And that loosened up his celebratory nature.
Will you celebrate at all tonight?
No.
Thanks, Cale.
Awesome, thank you.
And I believe him. So 2 goals tonight, 55.
Do you do anything to celebrate tonight? Or
no, just hopefully relax a little bit and get ready for tomorrow.
What's up, Denver?
I just want to say thanks. This is absolutely incredible. You guys absolutely showed out, and regardless of the weather, nobody's raining on our parade today.
That was a good little pun.
It was raining
there.
Bud Light. And
yeah. It was raining Bud Light and Dom and everything else. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
He was a little toasted.
Like many of them were, JT mm-hmm. Confort nearly got ran over by the fire truck.
Yeah, and Bowen Byram got almost pushed into the crowd by the cops. Yeah.
Hey, you can't have that. Well, wait, no, he plays on the team.
Right.
No,
He's on the team. I liked what Connor said, paraphrasing essentially, you know, there's lightning in the area, but they couldn't stop us in the finals. They're not going to stop us now.
Connor.
Good work, Connor.
Oh, Connor. And our own Jackson Wilson got interviewed by Altitude.
Did he?
I'm sitting here on Thursday, and I look up and I go, that dude looks like Jackson Wilson from River City Sportplex. That dude is Jackson Wilson. Him and his girlfriend both, they were over for the parade and the rally. And
nice.
And they were talking to somebody, and I forgot who interviewed him for Altitude or Channel 7, mm-hmm. overheard him talking about that he's a hockey coach over here at River City Sportplex. And so they popped him and his girlfriend up.
Nice.
Because she also is an instructor there as yep. well at River City Sportplex.
I thought it was very cool. They got Denver East and DU.
Yeah.
And I think a couple of the Mammoth guys got shout-outs, but yeah, they had Denver East and DU on fire trucks
yeah.
with them. That was which really
was,
cool.
Which was really, really cool. Sharing the love.
Yeah.
Detroit, you are no longer hockey town.
No.
Denver's hockey town. Colorado's your hockey state, by the way.
Yeah, and Detroit, you just can't proclaim yourself hockey
yeah.
town.
Yeah. 7:47. We'll take a break, we'll come back, and we'll kick around. One of our questions for you today, is competitive eating really a sport? We'll talk about that next.
Touchdown every morning.
Woo! The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. What should Colorado do? Sounds like today they're going to be talking with the Big 12 about possibly rejoining that conference, along with Utah going along, Arizona and Arizona State. So if you've got some thoughts on that. Also, yesterday, it's become a 4th of July tradition, which is the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest. And yesterday you had Joey Jaws Chestnut. We'll talk more about the guy that came on the stage because we had a texter reference. A
couple of them, yeah.
Joey Chestnut took care of one of them. So yesterday, I sat there and I started to watch it, and Kendra was eating lunch, and she goes, I just don't think I can watch this. I just don't think I can do it. I still think the best part of it isn't Joey Chestnut. It's George Shea.
Mm-hmm.
George Shea, to me, the longtime announcer of the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest, to me, he's a national treasure, in my opinion. Here's old George Shea from yesterday, by the way.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the moment when our country comes together as one. Derek Stevens in Las Vegas, Ann Holt in Georgia, Matt Davis in Charlotte, and everyone here in New York City. We are one nation. It is the 4th of July. Are you with me? And so now, the championship of the world. It is go time. It is go time time. It is go, no, go, lock and load. I love them and leave them, smoke them. If you got them, see you want to see it, see on the other side. Time, time. Count it down with me from 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, George Shea. I love George Shea.
That was the quick 2-1 go. That was,
go.
Somebody jumped the gun there a little bit.
So Joey Chestnut wins his 15th Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest. Then she had the torn tendon. He had a broken leg from running previously. He lost his mother. So they're emotionally and physically, Joey Chestnut, the champion, Joey Jaws Chestnut, had a lot of things working against him. And he still won relatively easy, though he didn't come anywhere close to his record. He had 63 hot dogs yesterday. Joey Chestnut, the 2 days after he competes, number one, he has the meat sweats. He sweats profusely after the competition. And he says, people have told me they can smell hot dogs. I really can't, but the sweat afterward, it feels sticky and greasy. My girlfriend says it smells different. He says it's always around 4 hours after the contest when, well, you know, stuff happens. Or what do they describe it yesterday? If you throw up, it's reversal of fortune.
Yeah.
The reversal of fortune. You cannot have a reversal of fortune.
I call it the old return to sender.
Yeah. He says it takes about 2 days for him to start feeling normal again. So, bears the question. Is it a sport? Is competitive eating a sport? It takes a talent that not everybody has, correct? Because we had, remember Seth Ramsey, big tackle that played mm-hmm. for Mesa? He was in our wing eating contest 1 year. Didn't knock that back them in. He was a huge guy. He was like 6'3", 6'4", 275, 280. Big mm-hmm. guy. And just couldn't do it.
Well, that year we had multiple guys get wrecked by their wives and fiancés.
Exactly. The female champion that won yesterday, not a very big person.
Mm-hmm.
And she ate more than a lot of the guys did yesterday. She had 40 hot dogs. So, I don't... Does it fit in the category of sport? It is a physical activity, correct? Because you...
Right.
Your body goes through a lot of pain. Does that necessarily constitute sport? Because you can do a lot of things that are considered sport that mm-hmm. that are painful.
I stabbed myself with a toothpick preparing dinner last night.
That doesn't make it a sport.
That doesn't make it a sport. The dinner did not also make it a sport.
I guess for me, it's a skill. to be able to eat as much as they can eat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not ready to call
adjacent,
this
adjacent. I guess.
Yeah.
Like is that darts, a nice, is billiards.
That, yeah. Is that a nice way of saying it's got sports-like things about it, but it's not really a sport?
Yeah, it's.
It is competition.
Right.
There is a winner. There is a loser.
It's like the fake sugar. You know, where sugar's the real sport, you have like stevia or whatever. Splenda, right. And that is used as a substitute, but it's not really the real thing. Hot dog eating is the Splenda of sports.
Well, it's like this ridiculous thing with that happened with the Drew Locke got sucked in. You know, the U.S. Open thing. Yes, tennis players are athletes. They're damn good athletes.
And Drew Locke handled that amazingly
well. He did. He's like, poor Drew Locke. No matter where he goes, he still gets shot. I just don't. I'm sports adjacent. I think we agree on that.